Jesus and the Gideons International that you've done over the years. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm going to read scripture that I selected. We've already worshipped, haven't we? Gee, you love to hear the words of God. Oh my, you just sit all day and just listen to His words. They just speak to our heart. And in such troubled times, they speak even more to me. Silence me, quiet, calm my spirit. And this is from Ephesians. And I made a profession of faith in Jesus when I was 9 years old at Westminster Baptist Church. I felt a tug of God in my heart, and I walked the aisle. I was baptized. Later, we moved our membership. I'm one of 7 children, and our parents moved the membership closer to where we lived, the Beulah Baptist Church, and I lived there. In my senior year in high school, they had what was called Youth Week, and all the youth took over the positions of the church, pastor, organist, well, not organist, but pianist, and it's called Sunday School, and so I was the pastor. And this is the scripture that we used. And the theme of our week of being in the church and leaving the church was, do you stand alone? Which echoed in my life years later, at upbringing in the church. I can never thank my parents enough. Okay. I'm going to start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and his shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, may everything that we say and do in our lives here in the sanctuary, and Father, in our daily lives, just be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. May we honor Christ by lifting Him up in everything we do and say and the way we live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Many of you have heard me, I know, because I've spoken here probably 3 times before, maybe, of being under fire in Vietnam as an infantry soldier, certain of death, and the Word of God coming to me to live as Christ, to die as gain. There I was, 22 years old, certain to die, and that scripture God gave it to me, it calmed me down. I was resolved to die right then and there, and fear had left me completely. And it was just a miracle to me. I was brought up to church, but here I was in this situation, and God told me exactly, not to fear, that my life on this earth, if I professed Him, would eventually lead into life eternal. And we believe that, all of us Christians. And then eternal life, eternity. And God has promised that to us. And of course, I survive. I tell people, have a situation just about 11 months later in field camp. We buried 5 men. It became a death camp. Men were dying. It became almost unbearable to bury. Our youngest was 19 years old. Fred Byrne, who had a brother in Long Island, a good Catholic. And it just was really hard. Christmas was coming up. Our last to die before Christmas was Edwin Russell Grissett, a Marine, been captured 2 years before I was captured. So he had 3 years under the belt of his captivity. He wanted to go home, and always look forward to that day. And just been beaten when we tried to steal some food from a camp, and Russ kind of lost his spirit then. And he was a good Catholic. He was always an inspiration. Russ had a plate of, call it a nasty plate of food. It was something to eat. You can't complain. Everything's relative, right? He would cross himself and thank God for his food. And I said, boy, what an inspiration for this Baptist. You know, here he is, you know, thanking God. But we had buried Russ, moved on, as we always did. And, of course, grieved. And we always buried men with the reciting of the 23rd Psalm on our prayer. And that was our Christian burial for them. And so here it is a few weeks later. We're looking forward to Christmas in a dark and dire situation. And the interpreter, Mr. Holm, came to that compound. And he brought this. You know, the emblem of the Gideon's Tower, scriptures that we distribute, showing that it was given by the Gideon's International through your donations and your faithful gifts. And you can imagine how excited I was, because I was remembering scripture from my head, you know, and I pray, you talk about praying to God. When you have nothing else in your life, you're stripped of everything. You know, isn't it interesting how, you know, the world does, even though we're faithful and we read that scripture, you know, the world does pull us in. But I had every opportunity to talk to God and to love Him and to thank Him and to talk to Him and to recite scripture and remember. But when He brought this in, guess what? I didn't know to live as Christ, to die as gain. So when I got my hands on this, I'm looking. Philippians 1:21. There it was. There it was. I knew it was there. And there it was. To live as Christ, to die as gain. You know, and over the next years, I learned about those lessons. You know, sometimes I don't think we talk enough about loving our enemies, too. I mean, we can love our neighbors, you know. We can love our family and friends. But our enemies, He told us to do that. There are a lot of hard lessons in here. I can't preach every one of them. But I saw the human part of the communist Vietnamese, okay? Don't like the system, you know. It's harsh. It's tyrannical. But the people that live under it, I mean, their hearts, these people worked hard in these rice paddies. And all of a sudden they became human. You know, when you're in combat, when you're training, you know, they're the enemy, you're going to kill them. You know, which, that's horrific. You know, combat is no fun. We should try and make peace with all of our enemies, you know. And I think we do try in that effort. But just to see them and understand them, and each one of them had different personalities, you know. Some you really thought, hey, this person would be a really good Christian. This person's got a really hard heart, you know. But, you know, the enemy. And so I lived through all that. I learned, you know, to understand them and have mercy. And God gave me that ability to do that. But we, as Christians, sometimes in this world of conflict, strife, and contention, I think that's a lesson we need to learn, you know, how to love everybody. And that scripture from John is really great. Yeah, hey, you can't, hey, you can't. In fact, Christ taught us not to cast dispersions against other people. Don't talk out, you know. You got a log in your eye. He's just only got a speck of dust in his. And He taught us not to do that, not to condemn. He said, we're condemned already. And that's a good lesson, I think, that I learned too. You know, it's easy, you know, to say, we hate this or we don't like this particular. But you have to think about all that's involved. But Christ gave us the ability to love. Now, Christ's love, we try to assimilate that. We'll never be perfect like Him, and we'll fail many times. But if we strive, you know, to love, have peace, and mercy, and to look at other people, you know, that's lost, that may be lost, and try and find some way to bring them into the kingdom, I think that's our purpose in life. Yes. So the scripture was left in a compound. Mr. Holm forgot to take it back. We hid it away. This little testament that came into the compound 13,000 miles from Brooklyn, New York, was given to James Alexander when he was inducted into the United States Army. His skin happened to be black. He was an American, dated through and through. And I started seeing things differently, having grown up in the segregated South. My commanding officer happened to be a black American. He was just an American, but his skin happened to be black. Roland Belcher, and anyway. So God opened my eyes to a lot of things. But here we were, just trying to survive. I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere with this. The scripture was there, hidden in the thatched roof is where we hid it. And Mr. Holmes got to get back. We would take it out and read it, those of us who are Christians, we always watch the guards. We didn't want them to see it, but they'd take it away from us. And about 15 months after it came to the compound, Denny Hammer, Marine, really been in a really fierce battle with the enemy and has survived. He'd been in an abortive escape attempt in which the man that escaped with him was summarily executed when they were recaptured. Denny wasn't. And Denny was a Marine's Marine. No way Denny was going to die. He was dying. He said, David, I know you believe. Tell me what you believe. You talk about being an advocate. We need to share the gospel more with people. And every opportunity that we get, that's just what we need to do. And I'm talking about me too. Every opportunity. We just had a man, paid contractor, had a house painted, and he was not a believer, and Linda and I witnessed to him a lot. We witnessed, and we weren't always successful, okay? You're not always successful, but we had that opportunity. And I attended his funeral back a few weeks ago, and his son said that he made a profession before he passed away. Don't know what, God's the one that worked on him, but Linda and I planted the seed. But Denny, didn't know, so I took him down near the latrine, knowing the heart, it was during the daytime, pulled the Bible out, I needed all the help I could get. I felt really inadequate, and I squatted down there and told somebody to watch, make sure they're going, let me know if the guards come in, because I didn't want to get the Bible. And I said, I told Denny about walking out, having God, growing up in a Christian family, believing the words of the scripture that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And so I told Denny about that. And then I started reading. In the back of the scripture is the plan of salvation. So I went through the plan of salvation with him. And when I finished, he said, David, I believe what you're telling me. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, so I had prayer with him. And that night, lying on a bamboo bed, Denny's voice came out of the darkness. He said, man, I haven't been the best person in the world, but please forgive me. He said, please forgive me. A few days later, we buried Denny Hammer. God knows. Jesus will judge him in the end. But he did confess to me that he was a believer, that he did believe. So many people in this dark world don't know. And there are many mission works that your church does, I'm sure. And one of those is you partner with the Gideons. And we take these scriptures. At Virginia Tech last year, I go up there about every year. We have Bible distribution the first day of class there. It's usually the last Monday in August. Pretty hot day sometimes, but we're there. And we're from all over the state because one camp can't handle all, the 25,000 students that are coming by. We're strategically located, and we're, if you like the Bible, we don't have to. But it's interesting. I have been there and give them out, and a hand comes out, and they'll take it, and they'll pull me over the side. He said, can I pray for you? So, of course. I'm the one supposed to be giving you the good news, but you're a believer, and that it just is encouraging to see students, and they'll come over and tell you that. 5,100 last year. It's usually around 5,000. After the shooting, the shooting was in spring when school started. They said they gave out twice as many scriptures because a lot of people were searching. This thing, you don't, as a young person, you don't think about, this is the end of life. After a shooting like that, people start to search their souls or look. And so we believe that God takes these words, you know, in like a sword, you know, a sword is this, it pierces right to the hearts, and people are convicted just by reading the Word of God. So that's what the Gideon ministry is all about. You know that, any of you. And it just so spoke at Living Word Baptist Church down on Waterlake Road on a Wednesday night. Afterwards, a woman came up and she said, David, I want to give you a testimony about the Gideon Bible. I said, okay. I coached her son in Dixie U baseball, where my son, and so I knew her. And she said, my father was a veteran. He went to McGuire Hospital for treatment. Yeah, I think he'd been in Korea. And she said, we didn't know what church was. My family did not know. I actually had four or five siblings or so. She said, and he comes home after being in McGuire for treatment, and he says, I've been saved. And we all thought, what? You've been saved? He had picked up one of these Gideon Bibles that had been given to him by Gideon there at the hospital, the VA hospital, and he had read it. He accepted Christ as his Savior. She said before it was all over, they joined Timberlake Baptist Church, and every one of those children walked the aisle and made a profession of faith. You don't know. I just think when I hand them out, sometimes the little kids, they got to lay it on the table and have maybe an aunt or uncle come in, somebody pick it up, mother, father, you don't know, and they got to read this. That's the power of God, and that's what we trust in, the power of God. So thank you, the Well, for being so supportive to us financially and prayerfully. We ask you to covet your prayers. But just so many stories out there in just of God's Word. And internationally, we're in 199 countries, okay? And we're printing this in about 100 different languages. Wife and I, about 8 years ago, went to the Passion Play in Oberammergau, Germany, with a group of friends from here in Lynchburg. We have a great tour guide. And we're in Munich and travel around the Bobo Mike, beautiful country. Yeah, it's so different from, you know, when you think of Nazi Germany. But we went to the Passion Play, it's in two parts. And so after the first part, you go into the village, you get dinner, and then you come back for the death and the resurrection of Christ. That's final, as you know. And the villagers had promised God, if they were spared from the plague, the Black Plague, they would put this play on in honor of him every year. Or every 10 years is how they do it. And so it's the villagers that live there in the village. You have to live there 10 years or so to be part of this play. But anyways, we're living our walk back. It's starting to get dusk, and the lights are coming on. Dusk dawn lights are lighting. And a hand comes out of the dark and said, do you like a gift? And I knew right away because I saw this. I grabbed that Bible and I almost hugged the man. His German Gideon, you know, Christian Gideon. I said, I'm a brother in Christ and I am in the Gideons. And I proceeded to tell him about just going. I said, you know, my university representative just gave out Bibles. I said, we gave out about 5,000. He said, we've given out 20,000 of these since the Passion Play began. And his wife was there with him and gave my wife a testimony also. Our wives joined us in the auxiliary at work. So, yes, we are there. And I was a witness to, you know, someone passing out God's Word. We're all over the world. About 300,000 of us, okay, in these 199 other countries. It's just how we love God, don't we? We're here, we worship Him, you know, in song, in the song based on Scripture. It is so true, isn't it, what's in here? And we need to read it more, don't we? You know, we need to read it, turn off the news. That's kind of what I've done. And I'm not burying my head in the sand, but I know that God is true, that He is a true and living God, that He is there. He's there to give me, you know, everything that I need, power and strength to overcome every situation. He did in Vietnam. I came home in 1973, returned to life here. Still think about the men that we left up to die beside me in combat, that we buried in the camps. And we had the 50th anniversary of the POWs in Yorba Linda, California last year. 50 years is hard, you know, I'm getting older. And as I watch, my children have gone on, their children have made professions of faith and are serving the Lord. And it does build on itself, yeah. and that's just a joy. And my daughter teaches at Brookville High School, been there 22 years, which again is hard, you know, these numbers. And her daughter will be a senior next year. Son's been in ninth grade, another. And then my son in Raleigh, he's the First Baptist Church there in Raleigh. And he has two daughters, and his oldest daughter, Ava's five, she loves Mission Friends Baptist Church on Wednesday night. She couldn't go the other night, she almost cried. So it's what a joy, you know, to know you. You know, that's the only reason to serve and honor God is that we exist. We as Christians understand that and to pass it on and to give that joy to other people. Again, I would encourage each one of you to witness, you know, to Him, His love. Yes, and we're out there. We just did the Guggenheim Nursing Home. Turned out about 200. And one lady was in bed as I handed the scripture. She grabbed my hand and she kissed my hand. I said, oh my. You know, and another man, I went in his room. He said, oh, David Parker, you're the old war hero. He was on the phone to his grandson who was deployed in Iraq, one of those countries. He said, David Parker's here. I said, well, let me talk to him. So I had prayer on long distance to some soldier. You know, God just opens a lot of doors with the eyes. Really, it's interesting. But He opened the door to come here and to share with you. And I just, Tom, I love Tom. Tom knows my mind. The scripture he picked today, hey, I love John. I also love 1 John. It's almost the same message, you know, love, love, love. That love God, love believers for each other and for the world. And the 13th through the 18th chapter, that's my scripture. But anyway, he selected some really good scripture, and I appreciate Tom, and ran into Tom back a few weeks ago, and his sister was in visiting, and he came by the table and introduced her, and she proceeded to tell me a story. She said, David, I was 10 years old when you were a prisoner of war, and it just apparently, you know, you were in the paper, and we were talking. She said, I prayed for you. A 10-year-old girl. Prayer is powerful. And I mean, I would love to hear that story. And I know everybody, but Tom Bryant's sister, I meet years later, tells me about praying for me. And I really appreciated all those prayers. And the Gideons, we are organized, as you know, in different camps. And we cover different geographic areas, going to churches. And you are our sole support. Everything that you donate, every penny that you give, goes to print these Bibles. Do not go for administrative costs. You know, a lot of nonprofits can say that. But we are a Christian group, and that's and the staff that we have is limited there in Nashville, Tennessee, and they're paid through our dues, those are for members. And members sometimes, I just got noticed they get ready to do a New York Blitz, Gideon's Ark. And they come out of South Carolina, North Carolina, they take a bus up to New Jersey. The camp in New York has closed down pretty much, too. So every year they go up and blitz, they call it, give Bibles out. I don't know whether they get in Rikers Prison or not, but they go up there. I'm thinking about maybe going with them. But they pay for their costs. The Gideons, you don't pay for their costs. They pay their own. We pay our own costs. When we go help our brothers in other countries, and sometimes they'll do blitzes in South America, Asia, wherever, we get on the plane, pay the fare, pay for our hotel bill. So it's a unique organization. We're that committed. God has given us that opportunity. And that word, you know, sometimes we have an opportunity like I had to witness, you know, to people by using this testament. But when you're in a place like Virginia Tech, you haven't got time. I mean, you're just giving Bibles out. And so the unique opportunity that we do have, we know that God, you know, takes care of that. So anyway, I just always enjoy being with you, and you know, here you are, the remnant, you're here, you're faithful to God, to come worship, to lift up Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it's always a joy. I know many of you, and it's just like coming back home. So yeah, and I just am so glad that I have the opportunity to share about the work of the Gideons with you, and how God has helped me in my life. Been there for me and saved my soul. I'll end the prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, your only Son, that you gave up. And Father, thank you for him who just agonized there in Gethsemane and asked him if that was possible for it to pass from his lips, but instead he stood firm and went to that cross, Father. The human aspect of it was so hard that he went there and gave up his life and redeemed us, Father. And we do love him and believe in him and thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, John.
We are all blessed by your sharing your experience in the Word with us today. And let us all now confess our faith according to the Apostles' Creed that you will find in the inside of the hymn, most of them.
We stand.
Yes, and why stand? Thank you very much. All together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the wicked and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Abiding God, you planted the vineyard of creation and called your chosen people to be your vine, rooted and grounded in you. In Jesus, you gave us the true vine, turning earth into grapes and the water of life into the wine of eternal life. Through your Son, you abide in us, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, you shape the branches of the vine to make fruit that will last. Your Son was crucified on the vine of our sin, that the blood of his sacrifice might be the wine through which we may never be thirsty again. In this meal of creation, of resurrection, and of everlasting life, you pour out the cup of your abundance to give us eternal joy in you. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Transforming God, your Son took the ordinary substance of human flesh and bone, and on his last night with his friends, he took the ordinary materials of bread and wine. Come among us now and make the ordinariness of our lives glow with the wonder of your eternal life. Take these gifts of bread and wine and make them to be for us the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with the disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
companionable God, you turned word into flesh, and your perfect love cast out fear. You show us a way to love you by giving us brothers and sisters to love as we love you. Abide with all whose lives are far from fruitful. Remain with those who have experienced pruning. Dwell with any who feel like branches that have been discarded. Unite your whole church, living and departed, as branches of your one vine. And through being rooted and grounded in you, make us fruitful in body, mind, and spirit, until we stand before you with your whole creation. And you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I want to assure you that it is all good and proper that Tricia and I should serve communion to you today, as these elements have been consecrated by Pastor Tom and Jen previously this week. So as he would say, the table is prepared, and all who love Jesus in sincerity and faith are welcome at this table. So please partake.
His blood shed for you.
Okay.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who in a wonderful sacrament has left to us a memorial of thy passion, grant us, we beseech thee, so to hold in awe the sacred mysteries of thy body and blood, that we may ever perceive within ourselves the fruit of thy redemption. You who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now let us stand and sing our closing hymn 506, In Christ Alone. Let us go in peace and love to serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.